The following production is based on a novel written in 1881 by a 9-year-old child. The spelling and grammar, including typos, has been left unedited and read as originally written. The audiobook you're listening to was produced over the course of 2 years. Many of the young actors in this production don't sound or perform the way they do now. Their performances in this production are not a reflection of how skilled they are now. They're just a reflection of how long it takes to make an audiobook. And now, back to the young visitors, or Mr. Saltina's plan.
Chapter 9, A Proposal. Next morning, while imbibing his morning tea beneath his pink silken quilt, Benor decided he must marry Ethel with no more delay.
I love the girl,
he said to himself.
And she must be mine. But I somehow feel I cannot propose in London. It would not be seemly in the city of London. We must go for a day in the country, and when surrounded by the gay twittering of the birds and the smell of the cows, I will lay my suit at her feet.
And he waved his arm wildly at the gay thought. Then he sprang from bed and gave a rat-tat at Ethel's door.
Are you up, my dear?
He called.
Well, not quite,
said Ethel, hastily jumping from her downy nest.
Be quick,
cried Bernard.
I have a plan to spend a day near Windsor Castle, and we will take our lunch and spend a happy day.
Oh, hurrah!
Shouted Ethel.
I shall soon be ready, as I had my bath last night, so won't wash very much now.
No, don't,
said Bernard, and added in a rather fervent tone to the chink of the door.
You are fresher than any rose, my dear. No soap could make you fairer.
Then he dashed off very embarrassed to dress. Ethel blushed and felt a bit excited as she heard the words, and she put on a new white muslin dress in a fit of high spirits. She looked very beautiful with some red roses in her hat, and the dainty red rouge in her cheeks looked quite the thing. Bernard heaved a sigh and his eyes flashed as he beheld her, and Ethel thought to herself,
what a fine type of manhood he represented, with his nice thin legs and pale brown trousers, and well-fitting spats, and a red rose in his buttonhole, and rather a sporting cap, which gave him a great air with its quaint check and little flaps to pull down if necessary.
Off they started, the envy of all the waiters. They arrived at Windsor very hot from the journey, and Bernard at once hired a boat to row his beloved up the river. Ethel could not row, but she much enjoyed seeing the tough, sunburnt arms of Bernard tugging at the oars as she lay among the rich cushions of the dainty boat. She had a rather lazy nature, but Bernard did not know of this. However, he soon got dog-tired and suggested lunch by the mossy bank.
Oh, yes,
said Ethel, quickly opening the sparkling champagne.
Don't spill any,
cried Bernard as he carved some chicken. They eat and drank deeply of the charming vines, ending up with meringues and chocolates.
Let us now bask under the spreading trees,
said Bernard in a passionate tone.
Oh, yes, let's,
said Ethel, and she opened her dainty parasol and sank down upon the long green grass. She closed her eyes, but she was far from asleep. Bernard sat beside her in profound silence, gazing at her pink face and long wavy eyelashes. He puffed at his pipe for some moments while the larks gaily caroled in the blue sky. Then he edged a trifle closer to Ethel's form.
Ethel,
he murmured in a trembly voice.
Oh, what is it?
Said Ethel, hastily sitting up.
Words fail me,
ejaculated Bernard hoarsely.
My passion for you is intense,
he added fervently.
It has grown day and night since I first beheld you.
Oh,
said Ethel in surprise.
I am not prepared for this.
And she leant back against the trunk of the tree. Bernard placed one arm tightly around her.
When will you marry me, Ethel?
He uttered.
You must be my wife. It has come to that I love you so intensely that if you say no, I shall perforce dash my body to the brink of yon muddy river.
He panted wildly.
Oh, don't do that,
implored Ethel, breathing rather hard.
Then say you love me,
he cried.
Oh, Bernard,
she sighed fervently.
Oh, I certainly love you madly. You are to me like a heathen god,
she cried, looking at his manly form and handsome flashing face.
I will indeed marry you.
How soon?
Gasped Bernard, gazing at her intensely.
As soon as possible,
said Ethel, gently closing her eyes.
My darling,
whispered Bernard, and he eased her in his arms.
We shall be married next week.
Oh, Bernard,
muttered Ethel.
This is so sudden.
No, no,
cried Bernard, taking the bull by both horns and kissed her violently on her dainty face.
My bride-to-be,
he murmured several times. Ethel trembled with joy as she heard the mystic words.
Oh, Bernard,
she said.
Little did I ever dream of such as this.
And she suddenly fainted into his outstretched arms.
Oh, I say.
Jasper and lying the dainty burden on the grass, dashed to the water's edge and got a cupful of the fragrant river to pour on his true love's pallid brow. She soon came to and looked up with a sickly smile.
Take me back to the Gaiety Hotel,
she whispered faintly.
With pleasure, my darling,
said Bernard.
I will just pack up our viands ere I unloose the boat.
Ethel felt better after a few drops of champagne and began to tidy her hair, while Bernard passed the remains of the food. Then arm in arm, they tottered to the boat.
I trust you have not gotten an illness, my darling,
murmured Bernard as he helped her in.
Oh, no, I am very strong,
said Ethel.
I fainted from joy,
she added to explain matters.
Oh, I see,
said Bernard, handing her a cushion.
Well, some people do.
He added kindly, and so sang the road down the dark stream now flowing silently beneath a golden moon. All was silent as the lovers glided home with joy in their hearts and radiance on their faces. Only the sound of the mysterious water lapping against a frail vessel broke the monotony of the night. So I will end my chapter.
This is a Cartesian Theater production, with Rebecca Stern as the narrator, Leanna Doyle as Ethel Montague, and Allison Mercier as Bernard Clark. Music for this chapter was provided by volunteer musicians from museopen.org and freemusicarchive.com. Sound effects for this chapter were provided by Ultradust, DeBroidy, and Ben Boncan from freesound.org. Stay tuned for Chapter 10 of The Young Visitors, coming September 29th, 3 p.m. Thanks for listening.